In the name of Jesus, amen. We feebly struggle, they in glory shine. We are the saints of God in Christ Jesus on this earth, in the church militant. We are the ones who struggle daily against sin, who contend with all kinds of afflictions, the ones whom have in our minds somewhere either toward the forefront or the back, the consciousness that we are mortals, that we one day are going to die. We face disappointments in this life. We face doubts. We are tempted many times to wonder, does God really love me? If God loved me, if there is a God, why would He allow something like this to happen to me? We live as those who are oppressed by the world, the flesh, and the devil. We feebly struggle. And yet the saints who have gone before us, those who now in glory shine, you, your loved ones, who have died in Christ and are with Him now, they no longer feebly struggle. They no longer face affliction of any kind. As the first reading for All Saints' Day said, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and He will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. They have experienced that. Your loved ones who have died in Christ. Most recently, Carlene and Ellen and Catherine Moore. These saints of the Lord and your loved ones who have died in Jesus no longer struggle. They, as the epistle for today says, are like Him, like Jesus in the perfection of their human nature, because they have seen Him as He is. But you and I are still in this world. We still feebly struggle. Does that mean we are not counted as God's saints? No, not at all. If we were triumphant now, if we never struggled with sin and temptation, we would already be in the church triumphant. We would not need a merciful Savior in this world, but it is precisely because we do struggle against sin, death, and the devil. It is precisely because we do face temptations. It is precisely because we still sin that we have a most merciful Savior who died for us to take away all of our sins. Let's not make this inclusive right now, even though Jesus is the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world. Let's personalize it. Jesus has taken away your sin. Each one of you, if I had time, I would name you by name. But that would drag the sermon on quite a bit. Jesus led you to streams of living water and the baptismal font. And even though you are all too aware of your sin at times, you are among those who will appear before the throne of God, clothed in white robes. Maybe you wonder why pastors wear these white vestments. It's not to set us apart from you, the laity, as though we were somehow superior to you, because pastors can be the worst kind of sinners. This white vestment reminds you, or is to remind you, that I have no righteousness of my own to get up here and proclaim God's word. I am clothed in the righteousness of Christ, the white garment of his righteousness. And even though you don't have one of these on today, you too have been clothed in Christ's imputed righteousness to you. You too are one of God's saints. And when I look at you, I see beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, but most importantly, I see those whose sins have been taken away, those whose robes have been washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb, those who one glorious day will appear before the throne of God in his presence, who will be like Jesus again in the perfection of his human nature, because with your sin washed away in baptism, you will see him as he really is. And again, you shall be like him. Yeah, now you feebly struggle. Now I feebly struggle, but one day we shall all in glory shine. Listen again to these words from the epistle reading for today. John says, "Behold, look, notice what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we, who by nature are sinful and unclean, should be called children of God." God is the one who calls us his children. God is not ashamed to call us his children on account of his only begotten Son, who took your place on the cross, who took your place and carried away your sin, so that you are now righteous in Christ. What kind of love is this that we sinners should be called children of God? And yet, John emphasizes, that is exactly what we are, according to God's declaration. No, the reason the world does not know us is because it did not know Jesus. The world despises the name of Jesus. You know, in this nation, it seems like every religion has some sort of honored place except Christianity. This is what we would expect if the world does not know Jesus. And let's face it, go to the mall, you look just like anyone else. You don't wear a halo, and I assume you don't wear a white garment when you go to the mall. You look just like anyone else. You as a Christian don't seem different from anyone. And yet your faith in Christ makes you different. God's declaration in Christ makes you different. So even though the world may despise you as a Christian, even though people may not recognize you by looking at you that you are a Christian, nonetheless you are. You are God's child. So we are God's children now, right now, in the midst of our feeble struggles. And what we will be has not yet appeared. We live in the now. Now we are God's children. We are waiting for the not yet, when we appear in the presence of God, when he shelters us with his tent, when the Lamb leads us to streams of living water, when he wipes away every tear out of our eyes. Come quickly, this not yet, let it be now. Thy kingdom come, thy kingdom come. And we have this confidence because God has said it is so. Even though what we will be has not yet appeared, we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, because again, we shall see him as he is. We see him now in the means of grace, in the humble means of bread and wine in which he gives us his body and blood. We see him now by faith. We hear his word in the preaching of the gospel. But then, that glorious then, we shall see him as he is. Do you hope for this day? Do you hope in Christ? Do you long for his reappearing? Well, whoever hopes in him purifies himself just as Jesus is pure. That word purifies is used generally in the Bible to refer to purifying yourself by keeping God's law. But suddenly, in the epistles, it refers to those who are pure through faith in Christ. So hoping in Christ is to have faith in Christ. Having faith in Christ is to be purified. It is to have washed your robes white in the blood of the Lamb. It is to long for the day of his reappearing. It is to rejoice in the fact that your loved ones who died in Christ, even though you miss them, are experiencing the joy to end all joys, unceasing joy, joy that gets better and better and better throughout eternity, joy that is unending, the joy of being with their Creator and their Redeemer, the joy of having every tear wiped away from their eyes, being free from every human affliction. For them, the not yet has become the now. And for you who are in the now, that too will become the not yet as you continue to hear the holy gospel of forgiveness, as you continue to live out your baptism in daily contrition and repentance, as you continue to have your sins absolved, and as you continue to look to Jesus and receive him as he comes to you in the humble means of bread and wine for the forgiveness of your sins. The church prays, Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly and make this, which is not yet ours, the now, which we shall eternally experience and enjoy forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.